Tonight, several developing stories as we come on. The holiday hot zone just days before Thanksgiving. Cases exploding across the country. In America, one person dying of COVID every minute. The warning to stay home for the holiday or risk an even greater surge. 48 million are expected to travel by car, and the airports have already seen the most passengers since March. Also breaking tonight, a vaccine by December 11th. The nation's vaccine czar on the relief in sight, saying the first Americans could get a vaccine in a matter of weeks, and the green light just given for a critical treatment for those battling COVID. Running out of moves, President Trump handed another major defeat in his fight to overturn the election. A top Trump ally, Chris Christie, now calling the president's legal team a, quote, national embarrassment. The president on the golf course, still refusing to concede, blocking the transition of President-elect Joe Biden, including critical information on the pandemic. Deadly chaos, the violence outside a restaurant, a vehicle engulfed in flames, two people shot and killed, two others wounded. A suspect arrested at the scene, grinning in his booking photo. Mall shooting manhunt, the FBI now joining the search for a gunman who opened fire inside a mall. The new development just coming in. And are we headed for another mortgage crisis? The slow motion disaster in America's neighborhoods. Millions of Americans out of work and falling behind on their mortgages, hoping that a vaccine will lift the economy or that Congress will step in.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us this Sunday. I'm Tom Yamas. We begin tonight with the coronavirus surging across the country just days before Thanksgiving, leaving Americans caught between two very powerful forces, the virus and the urge to be with family and friends. The CDC is warning that we risk fueling an even greater rise. Tonight, the numbers are already alarming, and the peak of this surge is nowhere in sight. Take a look. More than 12 million Americans have already tested positive, more than a million of them in the past 6 days. More than 256,000 lives have been lost, an average of 1,400 a day. Hospitalizations rising in all 50 states, a record 83,000 COVID patients in hospitals right now. The fear of overwhelming medical resources is rising, along with the urgent need to flatten the curve once again. Those rising numbers sparking the CDC's warning to celebrate Thanksgiving at home, yet AAA expects nearly 48 million Americans to travel by car. And on Friday, take a look at this. This was the scene at the airport in Phoenix. The TSA says they've screened 2 million passengers at the nation's airports in the past 2 days, the most since March before the virus first took hold. But there is some good news on treatments tonight. The FDA issuing emergency use authorization for Regeneron, the antibody treatment that President Trump was given when he was hospitalized with COVID. And in the most encouraging news yet on the vaccine front, the nation's vaccine czar, Moncef Slaoui, saying the first Americans could get the vaccine as soon as December 11th, just 19 days away. But in the meantime, the virus could spread even more after the holiday. We have a lot to get to tonight, and we begin with ABC's Trevor Ault right here in New York City.
Tonight, the rush of holiday travelers swarming airports ahead of Thanksgiving, ignoring CDC warnings it could further fuel an already raging pandemic.
You know, you got to live your life at the end of the day. That's all it is.
Though a dip in travel is expected from last year, nationwide, the TSA screening 2 million people over the weekend, some of the highest numbers since the start of the pandemic.
Please seriously consider decisions that you make. You're lining up, not everybody's wearing masks. That puts yourself at risk.
Millions now scrambling to get tested, waiting in miles-long lines.
If I do come back positive, then obviously I'm going to do the right thing and keep my family safe.
But medical experts warn because of the virus's incubation period, even testing negative won't necessarily protect you or your family.
A negative test does not give you a pass. In 2 or 3 days, I might turn positive and I will start being infectious and spreading it even before I have symptoms.
And across America tonight, grim headlines as the virus tightens its grip yet again. In the past week, well over 1.1 million cases and 10,000 Americans killed, the equivalent of a person dying from coronavirus every minute.
It's like a bad dream.
Houston mother Irma Garcia just retired from NASA, only to fall victim to the virus months later.
Every morning I wake up and I want to call her, and I just feel like, why did it happen to us? She was very strong. She didn't have any underlying issues.
Tonight, a record 83,000 COVID patients are in the hospital nationwide, the numbers rising in every single state.
This is faster, it's broader, and what worries me, it could be longer.
And with 15 states hitting new record highs for hospitalization Saturday alone, more than one in five hospitals say they're expecting critical staffing shortages this week.
The hospitals can create new beds, they just won't have the people to staff them.
Newark, New Jersey, locking down their city the day before Thanksgiving.
It would be irresponsible, criminal even, for me to know what happened in the past, watch these things create itself again, and stand by and do nothing.
As the infection rate rises in nearby New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo's threatening to shut down non-essential businesses in parts of New York City.
Staten Island is a serious problem. We're running into a hospital capacity issue on Staten Island.
And as California's average daily case numbers have tripled over the past month, Governor Gavin Newsom enacting a 10 o'clock curfew for much of the state, sparking protests in several cities.
Freedom!
But America's frontline workers say they're already exhausted and fearful of what's to come.
We definitely do not want to see Thanksgiving family get-togethers be Christmas family funerals.
Iowa nurse Nick Klein pleading for people to consider the consequences of their choices.
I had a really tough day yesterday and lost a younger patient. And so it just kind of hit me a little bit thinking about it.
And we feel for that nurse and all the nurses out there. Trevor Ault joins us now from New York. And Trevor, authorities here in New York are cracking down, trying to break up illegal gatherings, but they can't keep up with all of them?
Yeah, Tom, the NYPD says early this morning they broke up an illegal club here in Manhattan packed with more than 120 people. But there are reports that earlier in the month, a wedding was held in Brooklyn with 7,000 guests. Governor Andrew Cuomo says if that happened, it's a blatant disregard of the law, and he wants a robust investigation. Tom?
An ongoing battle we've seen throughout this pandemic. All right, Trevor, thank you. Now to the light at the end of the tunnel, the promise of a vaccine. Tonight, the nation's vaccine czar says the first Americans could get it in just 3 weeks. And in the meantime, a major step forward in treating COVID patients. The FDA greenlighting an antibody treatment from Regeneron that speeds up recovery. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Tonight, the chief scientific advisor of Operation Warp Speed saying the first Americans could be vaccinated against COVID-19 as soon as December 11th, just 19 days from now.
We are ready to start shipping vaccines within 24 hours from approval, and hopefully people will start to be immunized, I would say within 48 hours from the approval.
The FDA announcing it will have a public hearing for Pfizer's request for emergency use authorization of its vaccine on December 10th, and it could be recommended for emergency use authorization that day. Moderna's vaccine will face the same review a week later. Until vaccines are widely available, promising therapeutics getting the green light. This weekend, Regeneron, the same antibody treatment used by the president, was granted emergency use authorization by the FDA for people ages 12 and over, and for those at higher risk of developing severe illness from COVID. The drug, genetically engineered in a lab, imitates the body's natural defenses. Just one dose, delivered through an IV, has so far been shown to prevent some infected people from developing severe disease. It gets to work right away, blocking the virus from entering and infecting healthy cells. Earlier this month, Eli Lilly's antibody drug also receiving emergency use authorization.
I'm on day two, outside the infusion. I'm having some fatigue, but that's improved.
We've been following Dr. David Schultz in Indiana, one of the first COVID patients in the country to receive the drug since he began his treatment nearly 2 weeks ago.
I have no cough, no congestion, no running.
And just today, Dr. Schultz telling us he appears to have made a full recovery.
We're very grateful for all those doing research, those who have worked in the vaccine development, and those who are working in our hospitals and around all the clinics around the country.
Encouraging news on the vaccine and on those treatments. Stephanie joins us now. And Stephanie, Dr. Monsef Slaoui from Operation Warp Speed also predicting today that if 70% of Americans take the vaccine, we could see herd immunity as early as May.
Absolutely, Tom, but it will still take months before enough doses are available for all Americans. Also, scientists fear convincing people to take it will be tough. A recent Gallup poll finding more than 40% of Americans are hesitant to take an FDA-approved vaccine, much of it having to do with the political context under which that vaccine was created, Tom.
All right, Stephanie, thank you for that. Let's turn to politics now. President Trump running out of options as he suffers another defeat in court. One of the president's closest advisors, Chris Christie, slamming his legal team as a, quote, national embarrassment. Meantime, the president still refusing to concede and back on the golf course this weekend, even skipping a G20 event on the coronavirus as cases soar across the country. And President-elect Joe Biden saying the delayed transition of power could put American lives at risk. ABC's Rachel Scott in Washington tonight.
Tonight, one of the president's closest advisors blasting his efforts to try and overturn the 2020 election, joining a small but growing number of Republicans speaking out.
What's happened here is, quite frankly, the conduct of the president's legal team has been a national embarrassment.
The president's legal cases continue to be thrown out for lack of evidence. His campaign and allies have lost in court at least 30 times. The latest blow out of Pennsylvania, where a judge delivered a blistering ruling, calling the campaign's claims haphazardly stitched together like Frankenstein's monster. The state's Republican Senator Pat Toomey calling on the president to accept the outcome of the election, saying he has exhausted all plausible legal options. And Maryland's Republican Governor Larry Hogan saying he's embarrassed more members of the party aren't recognizing Joe Biden as president-elect.
I just don't think there are a lot of profiles in courage. We all know how vindictive the president can be.
But it appears more Republicans are starting to come to terms with reality. Senator John Cornyn now saying it's time for Biden to start receiving intelligence briefings. But the president is still refusing to concede an election he overwhelmingly lost, spending more time on the golf course this weekend, even skipping a G20 event on the pandemic. And as coronavirus cases across the country soar, President-elect Joe Biden's team pressing on, but saying there's only so much they can do without an official transition, warning the stonewalling is putting American lives at risk.
The president-elect, the vice president-elect are not getting the kind of intelligence briefings they're entitled to. Our transition isn't getting access to agency officials to help develop our plans. And there's a lot of focus on that vaccine rollout plan that's going to be critical in the early days of a Biden presidency. We have no access to that. And we're not getting background checks.
Those FBI background checks are a critical part of the confirmation process for cabinet officials and can't be done until Biden's team gains access to federal agencies. Biden now just 48 hours out from announcing his first picks.
You're going to see the first of the president-elect's cabinet appointments on Tuesday of this week.
All right, Rachel Scott joins us from Washington. And Rachel, we just heard there Joe Biden's incoming chief of staff. They are saying they need access to these federal agencies. But still, the president and his legal team are pressing forward, trying to overturn the election.
Tom, the president's legal team is already trying to appeal that decision out of Pennsylvania and in Georgia, where election workers have already tallied every single vote by hand. The Trump campaign is now demanding a recount. But Tom, none of these new efforts change the fact that they have yet to present any credible evidence to back up their claims. And federal and state officials have insisted that this election was safe and secure, Tom.
Rachel Scott for us. Rachel, thank you. We want to get to some breaking news just coming in right now. New developments in that mall shooting in Wisconsin. Authorities just announcing the arrest of a 15-year-old, ending a days-long manhunt by both local and federal authorities. Here's ABC's Janae Norman.
Tonight, a possible break in the case of a terrifying mall shooting in Wisconsin.
Head to the mall for shots fired.
Late today, police announcing an arrest in connection to the shooting that injured 8 people at the Mayfair Mall outside Milwaukee Friday.
Wauwatosa Police Department is pleased to announce the arrest of a 15-year-old.
The FBI assisting in the massive 2-day manhunt. Police say the suspect escaped as shoppers ran for their lives.
It is important to stress that this act of violence was not a random one, but an altercation between 2 groups.
All 8 victims are expected to recover. Janae Norman, ABC News, New York.
All right, we thank Janae for that. Next to the holiday storm watch, rain and snow making its way across the Midwest at this hour. And another system right behind it could bring some wet weather this Thanksgiving. So let's get right to Rob Marciano. He's live in Connecticut tonight. Rob, good evening.
Good evening, Tom. Several fast-moving systems will be impacting the U.S. during this holiday week. We'll start with the one you mentioned in the Midwest with rain and snow on the radar. Snow mixing in on the backside of this from Detroit down to Toledo. It'll ride the Great Lakes to St. Lawrence. It'll bring the rain more heavy into the New York, Philly, I-95 area tomorrow morning, then quickly clearing out in the afternoon. Blustery conditions behind that. But another one into the Midwest on Tuesday that will have both rain and snow through Chicago and Minneapolis, and another one in through the Pacific Northwest with some lingering showers, especially in the morning in the South on Thanksgiving Day. Tom?
All right, Rob, thank you for that. And there's much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. The deadly scene at a Sonic drive-in. Officers called in for a bomb threat, finding four gunshot victims and a truck engulfed in flames, while the suspect was arrested at the same restaurant just days before. Plus, the deadly shark attack at a popular tourist beach overseas, how other beachgoers attempted to save the man's life. And the growing economic toll of the pandemic, millions of Americans on the brink of losing their homes. What you need to know next.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Back now with a potential mortgage crisis. With more than 21 million Americans out of work, more and more homeowners are struggling to pay their mortgage. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bolton.
Tonight, the desperation is growing. In Atlanta, thousands lining up in their cars for food, some waiting up to 18 hours for Thanksgiving meals. The line outside Tyler Perry Studios stretched for 5 miles. Families unable to afford the basics.
My family really needed it. I have 4 little ones, so we really did. Came a big help.
21 million Americans receiving unemployment benefits, and now fears of housing stability are increasing.
I have friends that I can move in with my son. It certainly wouldn't be ideal, but I have those options.
Right now, 6.6% of all mortgages are in some stage of delinquency. That's 3.3 million American homes, nearly doubling in just 9 months.
We've seen a big spike in the number of delinquent homeowners since the pandemic began.
The CARES Act, passed in March, protects homeowners from foreclosure, but homeowners only have 40 more days to apply if they need help, if another relief bill is not passed.
The CARES Act, that's been such an important financial crutch to help families struggling through this very difficult period of financial stress. I'm concerned what will happen when that 12 months of forbearance is over.
The hope is that another potential stimulus package can be passed, staving off further personal and economic damage. Tom?
Deirdre Bolton tracking the economic toll for us. Deirdre, thank you. Time now for the index and the deadly chaos at a Sonic drive-in. 23-year-old Roberto Silva, seen here grinning in his mugshot, charged with fatally shooting 2 people and wounding 2 in Bellevue, Nebraska. Police say they were called to the scene over reports of a bomb in a moving truck. That truck, you see it here, engulfed in flames. When officers arrived, authorities say the suspect was arrested at the same Sonic on Wednesday for identity theft. Next to the deadly shark attack overseas, a 55-year-old man bitten while swimming at a popular tourist beach in Western Australia. Other beachgoers pulling him from the water, but he died at the scene. It is the 8th deadly shark attack in Australia this year, the highest since 1929. Finally tonight, in sickness and in health, the couple now battling COVID-19 on their anniversary and still side by side. When Madeline and Chet Kempa were about to celebrate their 51st wedding anniversary this week, it didn't go exactly as planned.
On Tuesday, I got a text and she said, please come here. I can't take care of your father.
Chet diagnosed with COVID-19 and rushed to the hospital. By Wednesday,
I hear this thud and I'm like, oh no. And I go in there and she had passed out.
Madeline also rushed to the hospital with symptoms of COVID-19.
I was terrified. And when I put them in those ambulances, I was just so scared that, you know, we'd never see them again.
But this couple from Northeast Detroit have been through it all with their 3 children and 6 grandchildren right by their side. On their 47th anniversary, Chet receiving a lung transplant. This October, that's Madeline with her family ringing the bell as she finished her last chemo treatment. Last year, the couple celebrating number 50. But yesterday,
happy anniversary.
It was a different kind of celebration. With COVID-19 restrictions in place, the nurses at Troy Beaumont Hospital stepping in for the family and bringing the party to them.
That was super. I'll tell you one thing. These nurses are really angels.
But Madeline had one more gift for her husband, an anniversary kiss. 51 years together and still going strong.
They're partners in life and they do not give up on each other.
Thanks to WXYZ in Detroit for their help with that story. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.